Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest will be Dr. Paul G. King, and he will be discussing vaccine adverse reactions. We will be discussing the flu shot. We will be discussing the oral polio vaccine. We will be discussing what happened in regard to the vaccine that has just killed children in Syria. We'll be discussing the Ebola vaccine and the CDC whistleblower. We have a lot to cover in merely 45 minutes. I will pick him up now. Welcome,
hello.
Dr. King.
Well, good afternoon, Sally. How are you?
Well, you know, we have a lot of territory to cover here, so we can't waste time on chit-chat. Let's start with vaccine adverse reactions, the flu shot, if you will.
Well, how about death? Is that good enough for you? Of course, they won't tell
you
what the risk is.
How about death? Yeah, death is good enough for the people who make the vaccine, but for the rest of us, death is certainly
it. That kills. You know, they would say one in a million, but they say one in a million for everything. So I guess it kills more than one in a million, but who knows how many because they don't try very hard to count. But on some more realistic things, the most one that gets the most press these days is something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is essentially a breakdown of your nervous system. And some people recover and some don't, but they say it's one in a million. Based on estimates from VAERS that I've made, it's someplace between 60 and 200 in a million. But that 60 to 200 times as much as what they claim. Other major things, which is very interesting, are things, something called vasculitis, which doesn't sound very dangerous, but it's inflammation of your whole cardiovascular system, and it can kill you also or have heart attacks and things like that. And if you're in a hospital and you're undergoing surgery, it can make your risk of adverse outcomes go way up. And yet when they take you into lots of hospitals today, one of the first things I'll do, too, is try to get you to get a flu shot. That's because, as one of my friends was telling me, you're worth more dead than alive at the hospital because they rate you as like $15,000 when you walk in if they think you're going to walk out alive, and like $40,000 if they think you're going to die.
Is that from organ harvesting? Is that from organ harvesting?
Well, that's from all the goodies they're going to make, plus they're going to be able to charge for lots more of these life-saving things. They're going to try to save your life, even though they know it's not going to work, but they're going to try them anyway because they can charge a bigger profit margin for those. And, yeah, they want to get your organs, because, you know, when they give them to somebody else, they charge them the privilege. You get nothing. Your family gets nothing for the organs, but they get to charge whoever gets them a lot of money for putting them in. So those are some of the adverse reactions from flu vaccines and other kinds of vaccines that are really pretty dangerous. But that's the flu vaccine ones. So those are the big ones for the flu vaccine that people don't think much about.
I would just like to say that my friend, who's a nurse who works in an emergency room, said that 90% of the people who show up in the emergency room with the flu have been administered the flu shot.
Well, again, there's a study that was done in 2012 where they took some people, healthy children, 6 to 15 years of age, and they did a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study and followed them up for 9 months to see what happened, and they gave, you know, one group flu shots and the other ones got placebos, and there wasn't much real difference in how much flu protection they got from influenza, but the people who got the flu shots were 3.5 times as likely to get some kind of other non-influenza viral respiratory infection, which is the flu. It's a flu, and so that's how you can take a flu shot and get the flu. Of course, if you get the live virus flu mist, well, that's even better, because if you're going to get any protection from it, you have to get the flu with that one because it's a live virus. And, of course, you get to shed it and spread it because that's always a good thing to do to other people. So it's one that you get to – if you're not infected by it at all, you can't have any antibodies. So you're going to be infected by that one. And, and while you're doing it for 21 days or 28 days, you may be shedding it to other people and infecting them. So you can spread it. Isn't
that
wonderful?
As far as we know, there is no efficacy to the flu shot. Can you think of anything that is beneficial that comes from the flu shot? Because they are
all the money that people make selling it. You have to understand, they sell. They expect to sell about 160 million doses of that stuff this year. That's 160 million times whatever their profit margin is per dose. You know, they ain't going to tell me what that is. And, of course, they're upselling by now selling the four-strain one, the quadrivalent vaccines, which they're charging, you know, like 50% more for, 40% more for. So they have a higher profit margin than the trivalent ones, so they're pushing those. So that's going to make even more profit. But
the people who make anything out of them
is the people who get the people who sell them make money. Why do you think the pharmacies want to give them to you?
Well, they're giving out free flu shots at community
Somebody's paying for
Brooklyn.
It. Ain't no free flu shots. You know, that's
the incidence of disease, it escalates in the people who receive it. So certainly people will be making money from the result of having taken the flu shot.
That's right.
I'm sorry,
well,
what?
Yes,
that's correct. That's what you said. Would you kindly say a word about administering it to children who are 6 months through 5 years as they are mandated to receive here in New York City, unless you're part of the 1.2 very special people who can get an exemption from this mandate? Then 98.8% of our children here in New York City under the age of 6 in order to go to daycare to kindergarten must get an annual flu shot. So what do you say to this?
Well, again, maybe it's spread disease or hurt the children because, again, according to the Cochrane Collaboration, which is not exactly the most unbiased source of information, they tend to look on the side of how good things could be. Flu shots in children under the age of 2 years are useless. And flu shots for children 2 to 5 years aren't much better than useless. That means that the placebo, injecting sterile saline, gives just as much protection from influenza to a child 2 years and under as giving them a flu shot, which means no protection. Now, for children who are 2 to 5, they may get a slight amount of protection. But, again, they're going to be getting, if they aren't real careful, they're going to be getting a dose of mercury, which is not going to make them very happy. The answer is the chronic illness is what they're trying to sell. In the pharmaceutical business, the game is to get people chronically ill. The sooner you get them chronically ill, it means the longer you get to make money off of them. And the more chronic illnesses you can have them to have, the more money you're going to make also. So ideally, you'd like them born chronically ill. Can't do that. I guess the best thing is start at 6 months making them chronically ill. That's what the game is.
Well, it seems like with the CDC whistleblower coming out of recent and saying that basically that they had a cover-up of results from a test, this basically leaves the door wide open to saying if this organization is unethical, then all of the studies that result from this organization are unethical, and the basic vaccine schedule, which for people outside of New York City is 49 doses through the age of 5, that is unethical. So where do we say all of this has to stop because of its unethical practice?
Well, again, you have to understand it's worse than what you just said because you're supposed to, for any drug that's given prophylactically, prove that it can't cause cancer or mutations or affect the reproduction of a human being before you ever give it to any human being. Those are called preclinical toxicology studies. And those are required supposedly, but of course for flu vaccines and all the rest of the vaccines, they're never done. That's because, you know, why you don't do a study? Because you know the result would be it wouldn't pass. So that one of the biggest things that people don't understand, or maybe they do at some level, is that since we've had all these vaccines, we suddenly have all this cancer in children we never had before. So when I say chronic disease includes autism at one end, and includes leukemia. It includes lots of things that you don't think about as being a chronic disease, but leukemia, if you survive for a length of time, is a chronic disease, and their goal is to get you to survive because they make one heck of a lot of money by getting children to survive. And every time I go over to this little coffee shop I have breakfast at occasionally, there's always another container for some child who has leukemia where the family's trying to raise the $500,000 they need to give them proper care. Well, I have no trouble about trying to give people proper care, but the reason they need to give it to them is because all these vaccines are being given to children, which haven't been proven not to cause cancer in children. And if they haven't been proven not to cause cancer in children, you might suspect that they do cause cancer in children, or can. Again, I was a beneficiary of that. You may have been too. The polio vaccines, where they had the SV40 in it and knew they had it in there, and knew it was cancer causing. And they went ahead and shipped them anyway. Then they blamed when people discovered they were in there, they claimed they got it all out, but there's no proof that they really did. And so you don't know that the polio vaccine that you're giving your kid right now doesn't have SV40 or some other live virus in it that can cause cancer in that child at some time later.
Now, I heard that in 1999, the oral polio vaccine was terminated in this country, and there's the United Nations, the World Health Organization, Gavi, Save the Children. These organizations are administering this oral polio vaccine all over the world, and I want, if you would kindly, to tell people, first of all, why it's not permissible in the United States, and second of all, what reactions can you expect from that vaccine?
Well, again, the reason we stopped using the United States is that too many people were getting polio from it because it's a live virus and it can cause paralysis in people. And what was happening was typically secondary infection where they'd give the child the vaccine, which is like orally, and because it's an oral virus, it's a gastrointestinal virus, and then some other person would come in contact with the feces or whatever, get polio, and be paralyzed. In fact, the last woman who died, I think it's 2009, she survived for like 30 years, getting sicker and sicker all the time, but she got polio originally from her son getting the polio vaccine, the oral polio
vaccine.
How
did FDR get polio? Because a lot of people say, well, FDR had polio. Do you know how he acquired it?
Huh?
Do you know how FDR acquired polio?
No, actually, he probably had Guillain-Barré. Polio at the time he was acquiring it was called infantile paralysis because it only happened in infants. And he was no infant when he got it. So probably he contracted Guillain-Barré. Maybe from a flu shot even. Who knows? But it wasn't polio. Because, again, Guillain-Barré and polio in paralytic form can look similar and cause similar debilitation to the point that you can't walk easily and all this kind of stuff. The famous example that we have, if you go look it on YouTube, is there's this woman who was in charge of nursing. So she was told she needed to get a flu shot. So she did. And now she's a quadriplegic.
Right, and she was the eighth person in her hospital. She was the eighth person in her hospital to become a quadriplegic or get Guillain-Barré from this shot, but nobody had reported it. And people denied, people let her go on for testing ad nauseum, and, you know, thousands of dollars spent. And then finally a doctor said to her, well, you wouldn't have gotten the flu shot. And she said, yes, I did. And he said, oh, and that's it. After all these tests and all the rest of this, and knowing full well that other people in the hospital had contracted this.
Well, I was reading something by Mr. Neil Z. Miller where he said there are 130 listed causes of death and for that people can put on death certificates, but not one of them is death by vaccine, even though vaccines kill lots of people every year. In fact, vaccines kill more people than the diseases they prevent, quotes, prevent, in this country anyway. So if you go look up the death from measles, mumps, and rubella, which is from getting the MMR vaccine, you go, the CDC reports them, usually they're 4 or 5 years behind them, which you can easily get at. But anyway, their numbers are reported. But when you go look in the VAERS database and you correct for the fact that 90 to 99% of the cases aren't reported, you find that less than 1.5 people die in this country every year of measles, mumps, and rubella combined. But it's several times that number die from getting an MMR vaccine. Because one of the things that can happen after an MMR vaccine is that the death can occur. And there's some other nasty things. I mean, I love the fact that they list them with such wonderful names, like atypical measles. Well, atypical measles sounds isn't like typically like measles, so it might not be such a bad thing. Well, measles is when you have a rash over your body, but it's not every square inch of your body, and it's not wall to wall. They're splotches and whatever. And atypical measles, you have a wall to wall rash with not any square inch missed. And your skin can slough off and, you know, can be have serious complications. But it's just atypical measles, you know? And there are several other peculiar diseases which can also come from the measles virus. So let's not say that that's the only way. But these vaccines are known, since they're live virus vaccines, to be able to cause these things. Or like the poor Syrian kids, I think the most recent thing I read was that somebody shipped the wrong diluent. They had ampules of a muscle relaxant and ampules of the saline that's supposed to use to be reconstituted, because measles is shipped as a solid plug that you reconstitute with the diluent, and then you inject that into people. And somehow they switched the diluents and sent them the one that was muscle relaxant. Of course, if your muscles get relaxed, you know, real quickly, you die, and they slowly died. This is another thing you can't tell. You can't tell by looking what's in that flu shot you're going to get or that any other kind of vaccine. You can't tell if the lot you have is what the man's telling you on the label is true or not, and you are faced with the reality that increasingly what's on the label is only some small portion of what's in the vial, because the federal government has decided that they're going to honor, quote, trade secret information, and even though the labeling laws for drugs in this country say for parenteral drugs, you got to tell everybody everything that's in it. It doesn't have a limit on what the level is, unless it's the diluent, like water, or the things used to adjust the pH, and you got to tell them what the names are, but you don't have to tell them how much, or something that's adjusting ionic strength. Again, you got to name it, but you don't have to say how much. But everything else, you're supposed to name and say how much. But recently, they approved a meningococcal vaccine about 2 years ago, where the only thing they list is the active ingredients, and it's got a trace of formaldehyde in it. I tried to find out what was in it, and I was told it's a trade secret. Tough. We ain't going to tell you. I said if I were a medical doctor, well, I couldn't, in conscience, sell anybody or give anybody a dose of that vaccine. But I look at doctors all the time. The stuff is selling, so somebody must not care that they don't know what's in it. Because it's a trade secret.
Unless the ingredients we don't know are the antidote to the ingredients we do know, we are in deep trouble.
Well, again, when you inject things into the human body, they can be things that are perfectly okay for you to eat and wouldn't cause you any grief, but when you inject them in the human body, it tends to not like things coming in that way unless they're identically the stuff that your body has already around inside, and they're at the exact levels that they're in the body. Outside of that, they tend to make you want to make antibodies or things to it. Since they're being injected at the same time, usually things are to make you make antibodies. So, for instance, they could put glucose in, but they choose to use sucrose. Well, sucrose is never meant to be injected into people. But glucose is what the sugar that you have floating around inside of you is. So why don't they put glucose in the vaccines? Well, I don't know the reasons why for certain, but I know they don't. And I know that that's not a good idea. There's things like gelatin and all these things that don't sound real bad, but they cause all sorts of, in some people, strong reactions, anaphylaxis, whatever. Many people may drop down unless you give them an antidote real quick by shooting them up with it. They die. Now, this is a known thing, and people say, well, it's only when these people are fainting and whatever, it's only a mild side effect. Excuse me? If something's causing you to faint, it ain't mild. It's causing your blood pressure to drop or your brain to go crazy or whatever, so it shuts down for a moment. That ain't good.
Well, all of these adverse reactions, if they are not associated with a vaccine, are taken very seriously. So why, if when they are associated with a vaccine, they are sloughed off as, oh, well, you know.
Well, because the people can't be sued. So it doesn't matter if what they, and it's so bad they can deliberately make a vaccine that might kill 30% of the people who get it. But if it's not made to kill you, you can't do anything about it legally. So unless you could prove
well,
that you.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all right. Unless you can prove it was meant to kill you, you can't bring a lawsuit about it or complain even. You can go to the vaccine. If you survive, you can go to the vaccine court and beg them to give you money to take care of you for the rest of your life or whatever, or for the cost or whatever. But, unless you're real quick about it, they tell you you didn't get here soon enough. And B, even if you get there quick soon enough, they'll tell you that in most cases, well, we're sorry, we're not going to give you a penny. Because of some technicality, or the most recent one, there's a genetic defect that's linked with the possibility of aggravating your chances of having this whatever's, which also the vaccine may cause, but they say because you've got the gene, we're not going to compensate. We're going to throw that case out. Well, that's just, we all have genetic patterns. We're all susceptible to something. But, susceptibility doesn't do any harm as long as you aren't exposed to what you're susceptible to. And the vaccines are a susceptibility factor, but they're trying to pull this stuff. And the reason they're trying to do that is they want to bring back the old DPT vaccine, since the DTaP vaccines don't work. And they know that if they do, the deaths from SIDS would have gone up by a factor of 10, because that's what used to be tenfold higher. Go back up to what it was. Well, we already have a infant mortality rate that's worse than Cuba, which we would say is a third world country. And we're below them. They're 5.8, I think, and we're 6.something. That's not something to be proud of. It's in 2011, which is the last report I get my hands on from the federal government, the number three cause of death in infants was SIDS. Now, it was declining because they're starting, instead of SIDS, you got SIDS, shaken baby, sudden infant death. More categories they can put it in. But SIDS, still the biggest category. Number three. So you have a baby, sudden infant death, which means just the baby just decides, I'm not going to live, I'm going to die. No, something causes that. It's said not to have a known cause, but I know it's death by vaccine. Anybody who thinks about it would have to know that it has to be, because most of these deaths occur a few days after they get the DPT shot. You think that's a coincidence? I don't.
Well, I get a message once a week at least of a child who died post-vaccination. And it is just so tragic. I hate to open my inbox because I got the other day a picture of a tiny little grave plot. It looked like a gerbil had been buried there. It was so tiny. It was just so tragic to see all these parents trusting their doctors and paying the ultimate price in losing their child. It is
well,
just
but again,
so
the parents
tragic.
Are told that the risk is one in a million, but they don't. That's a lie. They're told that SIDS is just something we don't know what causing it. That's a lie. The fact that you don't have vaccine as a cause of death in the official list of death, causes of death means that you're obviously lying because we know that vaccines kill people. I mean, the classic example is they try to make a first responders, they want to give them all smallpox. They told them it was one in a million chance that they would die. And I think they vaccinated about 30,000 and three dropped dead. Does that sound like one in a million to you? And then a couple of years later, they said, oh, well, now we know what the problem is. They have a genetic pattern which makes their heart susceptible to stopping beating when they get smallpox vaccination. So we'll try to screen those people out now. Excuse me? There's other bad things that smallpox can cause. It's not the worst vaccine. I think yellow fever has the worst vaccine. It can make you go crazy, and it can kill you, and can do either or both. It's probably the vaccines we have. Fortunately, it's not one that people take all the time unless you're traveling a lot. And if you travel to countries with yellow fevers, some countries won't let you in unless you take the yellow fever vaccine, which is a crapshoot for dying. It's
right.
Like playing Russian roulette with a gun that doesn't have most of the chambers empty.
Right.
Increases
right.
your risk.
Well, I interviewed a woman whose husband had the yellow fever vaccine, and he wound up in a mental institution.
Well, it's a known side effect.
His behavior was truly off the charts, and his personality completely changed. But anyway, so that's very serious. Now, what do you think? I heard Sanjay Gupta describe what the Ebola vaccine is for the lay
person. First of all, there technically isn't one, but even though they've been doing clinical trials since 2006, I guess they're close to having what they think is good enough ideas about how to make one that will only kill a slightly number of people and, quote, quotes, protect some, and because it will be one of these pandemic things, it will be brought under the law that says that you can't even sue, even if it does, even it is known to be lethal to a certain percentage of the population. But again, this is it's the old story. I'm a carpenter, so everything is a nail, because I use a hammer to try to address the problem. There are some things that the vaccines are maybe very good for. I ain't found many of them, but maybe there are some. But in reality,
why are we even talking about the benefits if you haven't found it? You know, I'm sick of.
Well, I can't talk about the benefits
If the
risks are absolute and the benefits are only theoretical, then I don't know how you make a risk benefit analysis unless you say that, well, the risk is that the person getting the vaccine takes all the risk, whatever it is, and the person selling the vaccine gets all the benefit, because that's what it turns out to be at the bottom line. There's
right.
no benefit that I can see in any of these vaccines that don't have that are not proven to be safe by the preclinical standard before they're given to any human being, because that means that they may cause cancer and mutations in you. And they may affect your ability to reproduce and have children or pass on to your kids or whatever. And there's, and the risk that you're going to die from most of the diseases for which we have vaccines, ironically, isn't very high. The diseases aren't fun or whatever, but they don't have a real high risk of killing you. So I don't know. Again, since I didn't have that choice when I was growing up, I had to catch all them diseases. And, of course, I'm alive, and so are most all the people my age, except for the ones that were killed off in the wars, or car wrecks and things like that. So I would assume that if you're kept healthy and whatever, all these diseases for which we have vaccines are no big deal. Now, on the other hand, there are some very common diseases for which we don't have a vaccine, which I think is also insane. If vaccines are so wonderful, why don't you have a vaccine for something that's a really serious disease?
They have millions of cases every year. There are 369 vaccines in development.
They got vaccines for all sorts of things that aren't really dangerous or whatever. They'll tell you they are, but they aren't really that dangerous. They're not fun to have. I'm not going to say that they are, but they're not dangerous of being lethal to healthy children who are in a place where they got sanitary conditions and clean water and reasonably good access to food that's not lethal, which is another issue with the GMOs. How to make, if they can't kill you with the drugs, let's try with the food. But the goal, again, is not to kill you, but it's to control you, to make you sick enough where you can't resist and you'll do whatever they want to stay alive. And that's the goal, if you had to ask me what the bottom line goal is. They want to mine you for money, take as much money out as they can, and they want you to be a docile population, so whatever they tell you to do, you'll do no matter whether it makes sense or not. You'll be the lemming.
Well, I think
they tell you to march into
the
fire, that you'll march into the fire.
Yes, but we have the right to an ethical government, and this is why I am not dropping the word ethical, because this is what is at the root of all the science, is an unethical body of people who are pushing this agenda forward. This is why the doctor who called and reported this malfeasance, he was ashamed because he had acted unethically.
Well, it's nice that he was ashamed at least once, because he's been a part of a crew of people who've been acting unethically for at least since the 1990s. So,
yes, but this is what we must protest, is the lack of ethics, because that addresses absolutely all vaccines.
Well, again, I agree with you. That would be nice, but again, it seems our government's not very ethical either. We're now going to go out and bomb. I guess the French did the first bombing, so we didn't have to be first. But we're bombing Syria, a sovereign country, in violation of the UN standards of conduct, because we want to. I guess that's the bottom line reason. And then we wonder why the people in Syria and the Middle East hate our guts. If someone were bombing me, I don't think I'd love them, do you?
We basically just have to demand, we the people must demand an ethical government. And
my message is quit demanding it. Go take back the government from the people who are unethical. Throw them all in the hoosegow or some such, because they're not going to give it up for free. And they're not going to get them by talking to them, because they're not listening. They're listening to the people, the rich and powerful, who tell them what to do, who control them. And so it's not the government per se, it's the people behind the government, people very rich and very whatever, who decide whether there's going to be a war here today, or going to bomb there today, or they're here tomorrow, which countries should be saved and which should be bombed, and who should get what vaccine. As Mr. Bill Gates said, 10 to 15% of the people in the world won't be born if we can do a good job with our vaccination program. You could take that one of two ways. Either people won't need to have extra children to replace it, or the cut down on fertility and lifespan and whatever, and you'll get 15% reduction. And if what we see is going on is really going on, then the people who survive will be chronically ill, because we're already in this country faced with the reality that 50% of our children, or slightly more than 50% of children, have at least one chronic illness during their childhood. And
now,
half of those are about...
I'm going to underneath the screen for this interview, in the commentary, if you scroll down, I'm going to put a link to an article that you had written, that you sent me, or... Would you please tell people, we don't have a lot of time left, about that? It was in regard to healthcare workers and the flu shot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just posted another article where it's on my website. If you go to my website, which is dr-king.com, and you look on the publications page, you'll see a bunch of years, and you go down to the last year, which is this year, 2014, and you'll see down at the bottom that I'm responding to somebody who was upset that healthcare workers weren't being made to get flu shots in New York City. And I point out, you know, since the flu vaccine, in bottom line terms, is a disease-causing vaccine, it causes disease. It causes much more disease than it stops. Then who in the right mind would be advocating a program that's disease-causing if they cared about the health of their health care workers, which they claim they do, or if they cared about the health of the public that goes in there? The only study that bears on whether flu shots would work or not is done in long-term care facilities, which don't have much traffic to visitors usually compared to hospitals, and they show no efficacy for vaccinating the healthcare workers in those institutions, stopping the spread of disease of any kind, especially influenza, or even more especially the flu, because this is what people need to understand. The flu is anything that causes influenza-like symptoms, respiratory symptoms, viral in nature. Bad cold is the flu. There's something called para-influenza, which is a virus that's closely related to influenza. It causes the flu. Coxsackie viruses cause the flu. A whole bunch of things cause the flu, so much so that when the last time somebody was looking into the Dr. Doshi, he published a paper in the BMJ where he said less than 20%, on average 18%, less of all the flu cases or influenza cases. So not only is they quote the efficacy for as if it were all the cases were influenza cases. So you can take whatever number they tell you the efficacy is and divide it by five. So if they say it's 60% effective, well, 5 into 60 is 12. Now, are you going to take something that's 12% effective? Maybe. That's in a good year. If there's a good match between the influenza strains and what's circulating, you get 12% protection, maybe. No, that's not it. This is insane. I mean, in this article, they talked about herd immunity with respect to the flu vaccine. How can you have herd immunity when you have to be vaccinated every year because the immunity that the vaccines provide doesn't last a year even? God bless America. How to sell stuff more. I mean, we have such a corrupt corruption. I don't understand how people don't wake up and say, wait a minute, this is something. This is a terrible scheme. This is criminal. I mean, I remember when the measles vaccine came out, they told people that you get one shot and it would protect you from measles for your life. Then in 1989, said, oh, no, we were wrong. Now you take two shots. And just in 2013, they started saying, oh, well, but for people who are going to schools beyond high school, trade school or college or whatever, you better get two more. And, oh, by the way, if you don't do that even, if you're a healthcare worker, you better get two more also. So that means that even four shots don't work. Or at least it takes four to work. I don't know. Actually, I do know. The answer is four shots don't work. No number of shots will protect you from getting measles if you get the MMR vaccine. It only protects for short periods of time, provides some protection to some percentage of the people, and that percentage is less than 25% that get any long-term protection. And even there, that protection doesn't last more than 10 years. And if you give a booster to boost it up, that only boosts it up for about a year, and then you're back to where you were before you started. So the only thing that's protecting us from having a huge outbreak of measles in this country is we don't have a lot of people with measles coming into the country, and we have a fairly decent public health system that catches them and quarantines them before they can come in contact with too many other people. Well, so we would have what had France had. France had a lot more coming in, and so a couple of years ago, they spiked more than 14,000 cases of measles. But the reality is, if we went back to the system where everybody had measles, we'd be better off, because with our improved health care, for the people who get really sick, we would almost no one would die from it, and all the good things that measles provide, which is what somebody doesn't want to tell you, if you have measles naturally, certain kinds of cancers and eczema, the skin diseases, your risk of those goes way down. So you're trading off more than that. Now, I mentioned you're throwing away the ability of mothers to protect their children by breastfeeding them because they don't have effective levels of antibodies in their breast milk if they don't have the disease naturally. In fact,
well,
I was listening
to
them.
What would you like to say in conclusion, Paul? We don't have a lot of time left.
Well, my advice is educate before you vaccinate, or as I would say to people, and I wrote it, you know, either the vaccines are the safest of medicine or the biggest lie. And since they don't even do the studies to prove they're safe, don't cause cancer and don't cause mutations and don't cause reproductive effects, then they're not the safest of medicine. So you know what I think about what they are. You know, they're the safest of medicine, but that's the biggest lie, and we need to stop listening to the lie and start listening to the truth. That's what I would say.
I read an article the other day by Jeffrey Jackson, and basically it was calling doctors and nurses to be on the right side of history and saying, you know, eventually everybody will realize what some of us do realize, that these are poisons and that their intent is to hurt us, and they will not look favorably upon you when they do wake up. So it's your opportunity with this whistleblower coming forward expressing shame, which is the lost emotion, I guess, shame, and to adjust their thinking and say, no, I will no longer poison children.
That would be nice.
It would be
nice. I'd vote for that.
It's an issue of ethics as far as I'm concerned, and if we do not have a government that is acting ethical, we must replace them. They cannot continue to hurt us and to hurt others.
Well, that means we need to get rid of not only every politician in Washington, D.C., but all the staff, all the administrative people that live there forever. They're the people that keep the system running.
And the United Nations.
Well, that's the hope for the world, but I'm talking about for this